Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shalom, family. Shalom. This is your brother, Ariel, here once again from Kol Elohim, bringing you Ibrit culture, that is Hebrew culture for those who don't know what Ibrit is, bringing another journey that Abba has us on. Thankful for Abba for giving me the opportunity to come and stand in his stead and be a puppet for him so he can speak through me prayerfully, that I'll hurry up and get out the way and allow him to speak. But shalom, the Shabbat door is almost open, family. The Shabbat door is almost open, and it's amazing how you hear a song so many times and you never hear the spiritual implications in it. But when I got a chance this week and really listened to that song, for believers, it touches on so many things. And if you really understand what he said, he didn't just say, keep your head to the sky. He's talking about following a cloud into Israel. We should really know what he's talking about and what is that cloud, cloud by day. On that cloud, that one that led Yisrael through the wilderness for 40 years. So when I heard it, I'm like, oh my goodness. Well, I never really heard it and heard it. And I listened to it, but I never heard it. You know, but when I actually got to hear it, and it was touching my spirit, and I'm like, oh, well, that's the song right there. That's the song. Keep your head on that cloud. And another part of the song that fills me, he said, you gave me the will to be free. He gave us a will to be free. Any circumstances that we go through, Yahweh gave us the will to be free. His son has laid down his life. He has severed that Hallel has, but because of life, that's what we'll be going through these next 6 weeks. And before I get to talking and getting into the lesson, let me open up with a prayer and open up with the beginning benediction. Hallelujah! 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 Yah, once again, for bringing us to the Shabbat door. Father, may we all take refuge within your Shabbat. Father, may we all lay down our burdens. May we all come to the Shabbat door with a handful of suitcases and just drop them. We just drop all that baggage of the week down and walk into the Shabbat light as a feather, having no burdens in our mind, having not even what we're going to do Monday, not even what happened Thursday, not happened Wednesday. Let us just walk into your Shabbat, your rest, Father, lightly, with no burden, Father, of the Shabbat, with all this world put on us. Let us, when we get to that door, let us know and understand that we can put down everything that bothers us. And when that adversary comes, Abba Yah, rebuke him. Remind us that we have the power to rebuke Hallel, and he will flee from us, the devil. Remind us who we are in this 24-hour prayer, Father, that you have given mankind, not just Yisrael, Abba. Remind us that we have the power, Abba. Abba Yah, I ask and pray for all those who are ailing in any kind of way, Abba Yah. May it be mentally, physically, spiritually. Touch them, Father. Heal them, Father. Father, and it's your will, whatever is alien us, we come as Brother Shaul. Understand that your grace is upon us. So we glory in whatever we alien in, because we have the grace of you upon us, Abba Yah. So whatever it is, Abba Yah, if you're going to remove it, remove it. If you're not, let us understand that your grace is upon us. Heaven forsaken us or forgot us, as your word has said, Father. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who have sanctified us with his commandment, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Amen. 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 Shalom again, family. Once again, I'm your brother, Ariel, and I guess I'm coming through clearly. Ain't nobody texting me saying I'm not coming through clearly, so hallelujah to that. I'm going to go with that. That I didn't get a text that I'm coming through clearly, so, and I miss it. I miss sitting down and talking to other people. I miss talking his word. I get to talk his word throughout the week, but never in this setting. Me and my brothers, we get a chance to talk, and sometimes a sister. And even at work, I get an opportunity to share Abba's word, to share his word, you know, and I love it. I love sharing his word. I love being a spokesman for him. I love just opening up his will to people, and even for myself. You know, and as hopefully we all got something out of Brother Yariel's teaching, and we all took an assessment after each teaching. Even with Brother Yakiel, with his teaching that was going on in Blog Talk, that we take an assessment is in what is it that Abba Yah is doing with us, as well as Moray, because each and every Moray, some he gives us journeys to go on, like what Brother Yariel just did, the book of Joshua, or Yahushua ben Nun. You know, Yakiel, he is going through the book of Ecclesiasticus. You know, he gives us journeys. And some Moraes, he just gives each week what to give the people. But after each lesson, we all should be taking assessments of a lesson and how we are to apply it within ourselves, and what is it you got out of the lesson? How is it that Abba Yah is speaking to you? Each lesson, and with Brother Yariel, what I was getting out of the book of Joshua is even with the song. And if you go back, and if you go back in the archives, because it's there, and you go back, Yahushua ben Nun, the people across the river into the promised land. They had to fight. He subdued all the kings. My assessment that I got out of it, for me, he subdued all the kings. He killed all the kings. He led Israel in all the battles. But at the end, when they had to pick their own place, still fighting to do for them. How I got that for us, for me, it's still fighting to. Yahushua have done it. Seven times between us and Hallel. But because we have this life, because we're still living, Hallel, hey, we're still in his realm. So there's battles that we are still going to fight until we'll come back. Battles we're going to have to fight, period. Heavy lifting have been done already. He has laid down his life for us already. He did the heavy lifting. He did one of the most significant parts of the battle. Because of that sacrifice, he has severed the ties that Hallel had over each and every human being in the world. But each and every human being in the world have to accept sacrifice. They have to accept that gift that was given to them. If not, the tide is still severed, but Hallel still rule over them. rule over those who accept Yahushua. And when we get into the lesson, we're like, wow, man, but well, how is that we still going through all the stuff? Is that we have accepted Yahushua? How is it that we still got to go through life? When believers believe that they accepted Yahushua, this is the thing is that, hey, I'm all right. I'm in the bosom of Abraham. I should not be going through. I go through in his life. I should have the trials and the tribulations. As we have learned, as the assessment of the book of Yahushua been done, there's still fighting to be done. Israel, and you look at it, Yahushua, and you look at it as one whole person. It's like they may be 90% in, because that's what went at. At least 80%, I believe, two tribes stayed back. So 80% of them have crossed over. That's our life. 80% of we have accepted and 80% of our lives, but there's some part of our life that we have not given it all to Yahushua. Comes those ways. He uses those ways. I mean, will we ever be 100%? Will we ever be 100%? Now that's the question for each and every person. I don't have the answer to that right now. I'm quite sure Abba Yah will give the answer to Moray's, any one of the Moray's. Or maybe one of y'all. Maybe somebody who is listening, he can give the answer to whoever he wants. It's his will. We have to get along and get in line with his will. Whatever he wants. If there's a problem lies, where the problem lies, because humanity do not want to get in line with his will. We as humanity, we do not want to get in line with his will. So we could be 80% cross. 20% of us within us, we're still holding on to the world in some areas of our lives. He's still attacking in some areas of our lives. And look at it. We all know the areas of our lives that he attacked. We all know the things that he used to attack. What Abba want us to do with these next 6 weeks is to purge so we can become. That's what was the question that I asked. Why are we going this route again, Abba? Because the name of the lesson is A Breach in the Spirit. That's what we'll be going through. A Breach in the Spirit. For the next 6 weeks, we'll be going through A Breach in the Spirit. And the underlying categories that we'll be talking about is mental illness, demon possession, and childhood trauma. We're talking about these three things, but the over top of that is a breach in the spirit, because all of them fall under that category. All of them. And it's amazing how when Abba first gave me this well over a month ago, I got a chance to send a question out, what is mental illness, to Rabbi Yaakov and Marie Ahabel. And I asked them that. I believe I asked Sister Malka too that question. I believe I did. I don't know if it's I. It'll go back when I find out. And it's amazing the answers that I got. And I wish I can go and look and find the answers, but the text that we had, the little thread, I can't find it, because I would love to read that answer. And one of the thoughts that Abba was showing me over a month and a half ago, that it's a breach in man's spirit. It's a gap. It's an opening. And that was the thought that I was getting. It's a gap. It's an opening in man's spirit. And mankind, that is, they look to fill that gap. There's a hole somewhere, and they try so hard to fill it back up. You're supposed to fill it back up with is Abba Yah. Don't always fill it back up with Abba Yah. And then we have this life. So because we live this life, no matter what age we are, imagine right now. Just imagine how many breaches there are in our spirit. Imagine what we have allowed to be filled back up within us that have been attached to us since childhood. Mental illness, childhood traumas. Just imagine us as adults that have been our spirits. And we all can look back and see journey of our life, the many breaches been in our spirit. And once we come to Abba Yah, he's filling these holes up. He's filling the breaches up with his son Yahushua. Feeling in some places that we don't even know, they so deep down within us. And until you sit and talk, that has been blessed with the Ruach HaKodesh, who has been anointed. And Abba Yah has given them the discernment, or even he has showed you ourselves. Breaches have taken place and have been upon us for years. If we honest, and I'm hoping and praying for those who are called, and if I don't call you, don't feel offended. Call me if you feel as though you have something to share. You feel as though that you have overcome. You have a testimony, even if it's testimony. Come in a certain place of your life, and you know that the halal has touched you here. You know that you have childhood trauma over here. You know even right now that you're dealing with some undiagnosed mental illness, which mental illness is a vast thing. It's not no one thing. Not just that word that we read and or hear, mental illness or mental disorder. It's vast. There's many things that fall underneath of that. How can you tell a difference from a mental disorder and possession? Is there a difference? Matter of fact, I'm going to open up with a, this is going to be my opening scripture. It's in Yeshayahu. And I will be reading out of the, for this 6 weeks, unless I have to go to a dictionary, I will be reading out of the scriptures. So if you have the scriptures, you can go to that. Because I like how this reads. I like how this reads. And we're going to Yeshayahu, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53:5, for those who are taking notes. And if you don't take notes, wonderful thing is all these lessons are archived. So you can always go back and listen. Always go back and listen. That's how you learn. This, Yeshayahu 53:5. Let me get there. I won't 55. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our crookedness. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. That was the severing sacrifice that he did for us. He severed that for us. I'm not going to go through a lot of scriptures tonight because we're going to be reading some definitions of a couple of things tonight. So, just the introduction. What Abba Yah really wants is for the people to talk, can learn, we can hear, we can heal. Abba's experiences, because that's what we read a lot, reading a lot of life experiences within the Torah. Yahushua literally laid down and had to get whipped. Doing that action severed Satan's ties, or Hillel's ties, held over mankind. This is history also, people's lives that we're reading. A people had to go through. Can sit back today in our lifetime, read what they've been through, how they came through it, learn from it, fly, and live by it. This is alive, family. The word of Yahweh is continually to grow, continually growing. The book is still being written. By who? By the believers of today, and by the believers of 100 years ago, by the believers of 200 years ago. When they told their testimonies to other believers and they looked and saw in there, it started out with the prayer. Those who are going through, how many times have you went through something and you didn't get an answer? Did you come to the conclusion, or did you come to what Brother Shaul said, your grace is sufficient enough? Sometimes you gave up. Threw your hands up and said, quit. A lot of people have done that. Just quit. They're not understanding that the word of Yahweh is life. Lives. We come to a conclusion, you know what? Yahweh is not going to fix this. What I'm getting in my spirit is he's telling me the same thing he told Brother Shaul. My grace is sufficient enough. How many heard that, but it went in one ear out the other? Went in our spirit and left immediately because we didn't get the answer that we want. It wasn't what we wanted. But he gave us an example through Brother Shaul's life. How we act, we should react. And me and Brother Early, we were talking earlier about a situation. Brother Daniel. And if you see Brother Daniel's situation and when he was fighting, Brother Daniel was going through something he learned about Israel, and it bothered him so bad that he said he didn't eat for 21 days. He didn't eat no meat, no nothing like that. He ate, but we understand that Daniel fast. But whatever it was, it bothered him so bad. 21 days, but the first day he prayed, the angel said that your prayer was answered, Daniel. You know what, Daniel? I was in the battle. Battling something that was equal in power with me, so I couldn't get away, Daniel. I knew that you was battling, and my job was to come and help you with your battle, give you some information to lift you up, answer your prayer. But because you was battling, I was battling, I needed another brother. There was another brother that had to come help me with the battle that I'm in. Especially with bringing down Beth Yahweh, we need to see that story of Daniel right now. See that way. We need to understand that somebody in here is in the battle. How many times did you had in your heart, in your mind, to say, I'm going to call his sister, I'm going to call his brother, but something came. Abba had put him on your mind, but something else came. Life was coming on you. You battling. You had in your mind to call his sister, but you're going through a battle right now. The same as the story of Daniel, but we living in life. Not seeing that. Daniel at that time. Why? Because we in the midst of things. We tossing. Dust is kicking up. Abraham pinning you. Help that brother. Help that sister. Call that sister to try to help them out. So another brother or sister. I forgot to send another brother or sister. So bam. So that 1,000 to 10,000. We all going to have to fight together. Because we all at one battling. All different battles. Robert just gave us a whole lesson on the art of war, and he showed us that Hillel uses some of the same tactics that he used because he had no new knowledge. He went through that the multitude of tactics he used in this life that he used. And you end up, you won't see a brother or sister for a while. You won't hear from them for a while. Man, they're going through battles. Battling. I had a conversation with one of my sisters, and we were talking about a brother. And I was like, yeah, I know. But sister, I've been going through a battle too. And that's how I would put the story of Daniel on my mind. And I can tell when the congregation is going through battles. The lines are clean. There's nothing coming across the line. There's nothing inspirational or spiritual coming across the line. 2 days, sometimes 3 days, without a scripture coming across the line. Wards being drawn because brothers and sisters are in battle. Are in battle right now. I have to look and that's the lessons that Abba Yah has given us, because he has given us strategies how to defeat our enemy. The enemy knows that, hey, a lot of breaches are on us. We have a lot of holes on us. And he's coming through one of them. And he attacked the strongest to the weakest. It doesn't matter to him. And you know what else, family? He is relentless. He does not stop. He doesn't stop. He's relentless. If you didn't, you feel as though you coming out of one, here he come with two more. At war. There is not a time in this life, if you have accepted Yahushua HaMashiach, that you're not at war. And if you ain't won, and you have to, as Rabbi Gershom McDaniel said years ago, what are you doing? What are you doing? Me and the brother talked earlier, and for me, and I had to share with him how, and within, once Abba gave me this, and I said that last time that I had to teach on the Shabbat, I was like, pray for me, family. Woo! It's like everything came at me. It's just been months for me. Top of that, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit that was in us, it had, for me, my spirit had anxiety feeling for almost a month. It had, like, it's waiting for something to happen. I had this uneasy feeling for a month. It ain't going away. Yesterday, so I really got a chance to sit down and start on this lesson and was able to look back and see. But the brother, he shared with me, I had the same feeling, an uneasy feeling. But here's the naysayers. Oh, my God, you a brother. You a Moray. How you going to have uneasy feelings? You a teacher of the word of Yahweh. How you going to have that? How you going to have anxiety? What's going on? Something ain't right over there. You not under His word through our life. It ain't just on paper that we read it. We ain't just reading about Brother Daniel's life. We're not just reading about Moshe's life. We're not just reading about Joshua's life. We're not just reading about Abraham and all the rest of Miriam's life. We're not reading about anybody else, Hannah's life. There's so many lives that we read about our own lives. How many times you've read something in there and it mirrors your own life? How many people understand that? You don't think they had anxiety? Oh, you know what? That's a part of the lesson. I'm going to wait on that. In the beginning, he also gave me two questions. Two questions. And in fact, I just asked, really asked that, but I'm going to read it again. And the one question was, the first one was, can one serve Yahweh with a mental illness? Can one, and we're going to read the definition of mental illness. So it's not just, don't look at just that word. Look at everything that falls under it. Can one serve Yahweh, I didn't even mention one 3 seconds ago, with a mental illness? Can we find that in the word? Can demons possess someone who is saved? That's the second question. Can demons possess someone who is saved? And with these two very questions, what we just talked about, the quote-unquote church world don't think so, don't believe so, don't have a clue. They really believe that if you ain't walking in the word of Yahweh or the word, if that's how you live, and something ain't right in your life somewhere. But they don't understand that, again, we are living life. Yahweh did not remove us out of this system. What he told Yaakov is go down in the triune. I'm going to be there with you. So he's telling us in this world system, be with you in this world system. And by the time a lot of us was a little older when we came to Yahushua, them breaches have been far and wide. Those unclean spirits have been there. Some childhood trauma has happened already in our lives. But we did not go back and tackle these issues that was a part of our lives. And it's good, and I love how Abba does it, because he shows us all the goodness. He shows us the goodness, the glory. At the same time, he's equipping us to go back in and dig up and till the land, which is us, right? As he told our forefather when he put him out the garden. Now, your job, Adam, is to till the land. And it's us. As the scripture says, to root up, to tear down. So now, there came this way. We know the glory. We know the sacrifice. We know his name, father and son name. Somewhere along the line, we didn't forget who we are and what we all about. Because we stopped. We eat kosher now. We good. We don't eat them unclean foods no more. We keep the Shabbat. You know, we just came through Pesach. We do that. We know that we are in the second month of Abba's year. But those things are deep down. It's Abba who got to till that ground. It's Abba who has to root up, who has to tear down and to rebuild. Things that attach to us. Those are the two questions. And like I said, family, this is just the introduction, because the prayer is, and the hope is, that brothers and sisters will open up, will share, and we can continue on the road of salvation and healing. That is the prayer. And we all do it in our own time, in our own way. But Yahweh has been giving us an example that, hey, especially for us here at Beth Yahweh, we've been getting example every Shabbat morning blog talk. We've been getting an example of opening up, of life being lived. Come from the top. Has to trickle down. Now, don't let us or us be the ones that stop the trickle from coming down. Let us be just like the top. Saul said, follow me as I follow Yahushua. Reverend Yaquiel said, same thing. I lay my life down. Opening up. I'm letting out. He is the spiritual leader. So that's how we're going to heal. When we dig down. And it ain't no shame. I tell y'all what. I already know. It ain't no shame. There's no shame at all. But it's like we read in the thing. It's difficult, yes. It's difficult. It's difficult. And to be honest. I believe Rabbi Yaquiel, he don't even have a choice. It's naturally coming out of him. That's natural. That release is natural. Abba is allowing him to release. It ain't him. Any of those mores when they open up on anybody is the Most High giving them the strength to release. It's a releasing that's happening. What we see and understand that. Release, because if you don't, it will eat you up. It will remove you from your mighty one. So he don't even have a choice. It's coming out natural. Yahweh's saying that. That ain't Brother Ariel. I don't know. But if you listen for these last 4 weeks, you don't have a choice. But y'all know that he is being released. If you don't keep him further from him, I will have to allow him to release them burdens, that pain, that hurt that's within him. Do it for all of us. We allow it. Of Israel came across. 20% stayed back. Still had to fight when we got in the promised land. Still had to fight. Guess what? We're still fighting today. Think them demons let up? You think because you went through that childhood trauma, you came to Yahushua, that it's gone? You think some of the personalities and the character traits that we have developed over the years come from Yahweh or come from Hillel? Which one? Which one do they come from? Yahweh? And molded in our weak moments. Some of us have buried them and don't even understand that we buried them. It happens. Happened to all of us. All of us. From Adam on down. We can go to the top. We can go to the very first human being. It happened to him. It happened to him. We got a very important question last week. You think Mariel asked that question? That was Abba Yah asking that question. Where are you? Where are you today? Part of you. That's Abba asking us that question. Where are you? I know when we look in that mirror, I know when other people see us, but he ain't talking about that. He talking about that deep down thing. Where are you? That thing that's deep in you. We want to be warriors for Abiyah, male and female, warriors. So we're going to have some of those difficult conversations. You didn't hear the funeral rings, boo-hoo. That was Daniel. He tells us partially of his story. Partially. He let loose. It's a releasing family. Don't think of it as an embarrassment. Understand that Abiyah is allowing us to release not just you, but someone else. And that's what we're called to do. We are called to release the burdens on ourselves and others. So that's what Yahushua came to do. Set the captives free. To release the burdens. And if you live inside of you, you are tasked with the same thing. You are tasked with the same thing. We are tasked with the same thing. Get free and release the burdens. Let me, the first thing I wanted to do about was breach. Because I wanted to know, why did you give me that? Why breach? Why, when I first got the thought, when you first planted the thought in my mind, why that? And I swear, I wish I had those texts that Rabbi Yaakov El texted out. And because the first thing he went back, I'm going to read the definition first. If you can, you can read it too. And this is coming from the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. And breach, which is a noun, the first definition is an infraction or violation of law, obligation, tie, or standard. But I like that first one, the infraction or violation of law. It filled me because that was a thought that Abiyah gave, but when gave his, he took it all the way back to Adam. Adam, one of Yahweh's commands. Yes, he did. The very first command he violated. Do not eat the tree. Each and every human being born in the likeness in the image of Adam. Because the very first mother and father. That was a part of the definition. The definition that I was talking about is the whole, something goes through, right? But the very first definition of this is an infraction of law, a violation of law or commandment, whatever way you want to say it, right? The very first man. So each and every human being has a mental illness. If we want to go back to that, a breach in the spirit. I'm going to read the second one. 2A, a broken, rupture, or torn condition, or aya, right? A torn, a broken, a breach in the spirit. Good. If you want in your spare time, you can sit down and you can look it up for yourself. Let's go back. And the second one I wanted to look up is just mental disorders and read a free definition of mental disorder. I'm not going to read all of it. And this is from the World Health Organization. There are many different mental disorders. They are generally characterized by a combination of abnormal thoughts, perceptions, emotions, behavior, and relationships with others. Mental disorders include depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and other psychosis, dementia, and developmental disorders, including autism. There are effective strategies for preventing mental disorders such as depression. Okay. There are effective treatments for mental disorders and ways to elevate the suffering caused by them. Access to health care and social services capable of providing treatment and social support is key. I agree with a lot of that, but I don't agree if you try all that and you don't try Abba Yah first. And even if you want to go and talk to a therapist, that's okay too. If you want someone to get down, the only one that really can remove that disorder, the one who made us. And I'm going to read the definitions for some. Mental disorders include depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and other psychosis, dementia, and developmental disorders, including autism. So that, and there's a variety of things that we can go through. And one of the common that I do want to read is depression. So let me continue on with this thought right here. The burden of mental disorders continues to grow with significant impacts on health and major social, human rights, and economic consequences in all countries of the world. I read an article the other day. I believe it was in the Time magazine. It actually is in all the magazines. Newsweek, everyone that you go in, New York Times, all of them talking about how mental disorders, especially in kids, and not just kids, but throughout time, has grown. The numbers, the percentages have grown in the last 2 years. And they contribute the lockdowns and all that to the mental disorders. If you ask me, it all goes back to the breach in the spirit from Adam and the decay of man, period, right? And because what the scripture says in Matthew 24:12, and because shall abound, lawlessness shall abound. And if you ask me, that is the main reason why we see mental disorders throughout, and they want to rise throughout the world. Because man does not understand that we are separated from the Most High. So without him, we are mad, the scripture says. And just going to read this depression, the thoughts on depression, and we're going to move on because that is one of the biggest, depression. And can come on any and everybody at a multitude of times, and I will be one of the first to tell you I've been through a bout of or a battle of depression maybe about 5 years ago. Which and nobody knows because we don't talk. We didn't open up. I didn't open up. I didn't talk. I was just functioning, going to work and functioning. But when I read up on all the things that go with depression, hey, I was like, hey, I was depressed. And didn't even understand, didn't know. Depression, common mental disorder, and one of the main causes of disability worldwide. Globally, an estimate of 264 million people are affected by depression. More women are affected than men. Depression is characterized by sadness, loss of interest, of pleasure, feeling of guilt, of low self-worth, disturbed sleep or appetite, tiredness, and poor concentration. People with depression may also have multiple physical complaints with no appetite, physical cause. Depression can be long-lasting or reoccurring. substantially impairing people's ability to function at work or school and to cope with daily life. Its most severe depression can lead to suicide. Prevention programs have been shown to reduce depression both for children through protection and psychological support following physical and sexual abuse, and adults through psychological social assistance after disaster and conflict. There are also effective treatments. Mild to moderate depression can be effectively treated with taking therapy, such as cognitive behavior therapy or psychotherapy. Antidepressant can be an effective form of treatment for moderate to severe depression, but are not the first line of treatment for cases of mild depression. They would not be used for treating depression in children and are not the first line of treatment in adolescents. Among whom they be used with caution. Management of depression should include psychosocial psychosis aspect, including identifying stress factors such as financial problems, difficulties at work, or physical or mental abuse, and sources of support, such as family members and friends. The maintenance of reactivation of social networks and social activities is important. And it got bipolar, it got schizophrenia and psychosis and others. If you want to go to this article is the World Health Organization, which is the WHO, which you probably heard a many times within the last 2 years. You should have anyway with this pandemic that was going on. So let's go to spiritual possession. That is the next one, and yeah, it was only, and we also will look up some childhood traumas too. And I'll give everybody where I'm reading from, and this is Wikipedia, spiritual possessions, and I'm only going to read a little bit of it. I'm not going to read all of it. That way, in your own time, you can go and read it. Spiritual possession is an unusual or altered state of consciousness and associated behaviors reportedly caused by the control of a human body by spirit, ghosts, demons, or gods. The concept of spiritual possession exists in many cultures and religions, including Buddhism, Christianity, Asian, Hindu, a whole bunch of, I'm going to skip all that. Traditions depending on the culture context in which it is found, possession may be considered voluntary or involuntary. And I like that one right there. Possession may be voluntary or involuntary. And that means people who know they are inviting demons in their life. They are praying to demons. They are chanting. They are doing things. But involuntary. I believe that covers all of us, involuntary. One way or another. And again, this life, those breaches, they come in, do a multitude of things. In those low states, something has happened. They use guilt. They use a multitude of things in our life. Come in, and it's so close to mental disorders. We will need the Spirit of Yahweh. Yahweh going to show us the difference, how close they are, mental disorders and these demon possessions. Matter of fact, involuntary and may be considered to have beneficial or detrimental effects on their host. There's no benefit to a demon right? None whatsoever. None. Detrimental? Absolutely. Absolutely. Meditating a couple of weeks ago about this very thing right here, demon possession, and I was asking a question. And the question was that I'm trying to bring back. Bear with me. Can Satan own your soul? No. Like, can you sell your soul to the devil? Because we hear that. We hear that a lot. And especially in today's world, you hear that they have sold their soul to the devil. And he asked that question a couple of weeks ago. I got a chance to talk to your brother, Murray Harvell, about it. And we got a chance to chop it up. And the answer is no. You cannot sell your soul to the devil. You cannot do it. What you can do is give him authority, temporarily authority over your soul. I mean, you can say that. But no human being has ever sold their soul to the devil because it does not belong to him. And what are you going to do with it? You pass on. You have to go back to the maker. Yeah, it ain't like that he's going to keep it. Hey, this one here is mine. They sold that stuff to me. What you can do, as the scripture says, to lose your soul. It says lose. It doesn't say you sell your soul. You lose your soul. What happens is not even lose it in the essence that it's never going back to the Father because it goes back to him. Essence of you do not get salvation at the end of all this when judgment time has come. That's how you lose your soul. We do not sell our soul. Allah cannot buy our souls. He had no way to even put them. He cannot even control them. Once the flesh drop and they go back to the Father, it ain't like what we saw in that foolishness with Keanu Reeves. He's grabbing them out of the air. Now he has no power. Like that. That is this Hollywood foolishness that the world has put with the word of Yahweh, but he cannot. He cannot buy or you cannot sell your soul to the devil. Give him ownership, brother. Man, you're not ownership. You can give him leadership for a time of your soul, but you can't sell it to him. It don't belong to you, and it sure don't belong to him. Who it belongs to is the maker, and that's where it goes, back to the maker. I don't care if you spent your life saying, giving praises to Satan your whole life. You knew coming out of the womb that Satan was your father. That essence. Follow him. You knew in your womb that you were going to pledge your life to Satan. I don't care if you did that your whole life. When you die, going back to the Father. It's your seven-day tour. Letting you know all the confusion that's coming upon you, what Scripture says. But we cannot. That's Hollywood. Mankind can't sell a soul to the devil. Can't do it. All right, that's enough of the spiritual possession. And this is the one that we'll be looking up next. And you can too in your spare time. How can childhood trauma affect us as adults? How can childhood trauma affect us as adults? And in your spare time, you can look it up. And this is from the Mental Health Center. So you can go to the Mental Health Center and look it up and read the same article or the same thing I'm reading. How childhood trauma affects us as adults. Childhood, the very word draws up images of innocence, joy, optimism, and wonder. Childhood is a time of security, being protected and loved, having stability, and knowing you are protected by your family. Allows you to form solid and safe relationships later in life. Excuse me, fam. This is the idea, definition, and experience of childhood. However, the reality of many children's experiences and the effect on the rest of their lives is in stark contrast to the idolized expectation. Childhood trauma can take many forms. Sexual abuse, witnessing a traumatic event, having a severe illness requiring surgery and hospitalization, witnessing domestic violence, experiencing intense bullying, extreme situations like refugees, trauma, and experiencing a large-scale and natural disaster. And I'm going to go back to the bullying, because we limit the bullying just to outside of the house. But there's a many times in families that older family members had bullied a lot of younger family members. I remember when we was kids and we had to live with my we was very young too. We were at least 5 or 6 years old, me and my brother Darius. And we had to live with my sister's father and his family. And I remember them doing a lot. They set my brother on a stove. You remember in those old houses, we had those radiators, you know. We set him on the radiators. Until this day, he still has the burn mark on it. I remember them doing some very wicked things to us. Very wicked things. I remember me and the young cousin, me and the young lady, and maybe there's some things that have attached to me because of that incident right there. 5, 6 years old, we was made to get married. We was made to kiss as we was adults, 5 years old. I remember that. And when I read this article, it took me right back to that. I remembered it like it was yesterday. And I remember the things, they hanged my brother out of the window. They were some very bad motor scooters. You know what I mean? Very bad people. They was bad. So bullying doesn't just come from outside of the household. It also comes within the house. We as adults are often unable to process these life events. Imagine the scale and scope through a child's eyes, trying to process the nuances of these experiences and trying to understand their role in their occurrences. Children do not filter information through a prism of education, socialization, and life experiences as we do. We oftentimes blame themselves because they have no other point of reference of why these events occur. And this touched me when I read it, though. I mean, when I first read it, it touched me because, like, it starts off, children are innocent. Growing up, those are supposed to be the happy years of your life. But when you grow up in the household, and there's a monster in the household. And what happens to that young mind, it changes, or a traumatic event in that young mind, it changes them. And I know this from experiences with just my baby, how I can see the change, the traumatic event, how it changed it. And it broke me when I first read it, because I feel, like he said, there's supposed to be security for that child. There's supposed to be protection for them children. But it's not. And so often that we grow up as adults with all this within us, all this childhood trauma, with all this ugliness deep down in there that we have buried. We've buried these things. You know, I know from my own brothers and sisters that a lot of them will tell you that they have the feeling of abandonment because their mother gave them up as children. So they don't have a stick-to-it type of attitude because in their mind, they didn't understand why until one day my brother said that he was abandoned. He felt as though, because my mother and father was alive, but he was living with his grandmother. Even with that, living with his grandmother, but still seeing your mother, still seeing your father, and as that child, we push it down, we push it to the side, but as an adult, you go back and you wonder, you have to question, Mommy, why wasn't I with you? Daddy, why wasn't you with me? Why did you come get me? Why did I have to live with my mother, my grandmother my whole life? So this part right here touches me because I've been through a lot of childhood trauma. Been through it. I'm going to read one more part about this. Childhood trauma chips away at a child's stability and sense of self, undermining self-worth and often staying with the child into adulthood. This trauma can also impact a person into adulthood as they experience feeling of shame and guilt, feeling disconnected and unable to relate to others, trouble controlling emotions, heightened anxiety and depression, anger. Let's take the case of a complex trauma that occurs directly to the child and disrupt their sense of safety and stability. If a child is abused emotionally, physically, or sexually by someone close to them, often a caregiver, it can condition the way of the child forms attachments later, a way that a child forms attachments later in life. They may start to see protectors and caregivers through a different filter, no longer trusting those individuals to keep them safe or even care about them. Once a child's sense of identity is fractured, it takes years of work to rebuild those broken pieces and have them regain trust. I'm going to stop right there, family. We can continue to read. You can continue to read because it's just a little bit more in it to own leisure. You can go to the mental health center. You can look it up. And it's a long. Matter of fact, it ain't that long. If you go down and scrolling down and reading through it, it ain't that long. But matter of fact, all right, I'm gonna finish reading something because what we talked about earlier, the trouble thing, the hard things, right? In order for us to heal, we have to go to that place that we don't want to go. We have to go. We have to confront that pain that we don't want to confront to move on and get back in line, right? Dismissive avoidant attachment. This form of attachment results with the caregiver ignores or rejects a child's need. When that child becomes an adult, they may choose to be ultra-dependent in order to protect themselves from being rejected again. Fearful avoidant attachment. When a child experiences and is exposed to abuse and neglect, and it is natural for some to fear intimacy, close relationships. Now in adulthood, those with fearful avoidant attachment are often distrustful and have a difficult time sharing emotions and may seem disconnected from their partner. Anxious, preoccupied attachment, this adult may seem clingy or needy and will often require repeated violations in relationships. They will never entirely feel secure. Stemming from a childhood with parents who were not consistent in the emotional security they provided, loving the child and then rejecting them and repeatedly causes the child to continue to question their place and require ongoing violations and validation. I'm dealing with this right now with Shawnee, with my oldest. She deals with this right now. And a lot of time, as we have talked, and because I try to open up and talk to all my kids, a lot of times they will all tell you that you provided for, you did this for, you try to do that for. Emotional part is what we are missing. The hard love was always there. Where was the nurturing love? You know, where was that at? So as an adult, you see the results of the child's life because they deal everything with hardness, right? And it was amazing sitting there talking and hearing all this. You know, one day when me, Sean, and one of his friends was downstairs, and he's like, "Hey, my mother did this for me. She did that for me." The nurturing I miss. So that developed that young man's mind on how he is today. And a lot of us are like that. Because though the parent is dealing with some traumas of their own and some mental illness of their own and some demons of their own and doing the best that they can, until they are made aware of how with their own children and where they were lacking in their children's lives. Trust me, they're going to tell you after a while. When they get to that point, they're going to tell you. And it may crush you. It may hurt you. But as we're talking about, those difficult conversations is needed for healthy relationships first and foremost, and healing. One more paragraph, family, and that's it. The effects of childhood trauma are many, and they are dependent on the trauma and the child themselves. If a child comes from a home that does not provide a sense of security and protection for that child, they may resort to developing their own forms of occupying mechanisms, allowing them to function day to day just to survive. They may live on eggshells, having become accustomed to a parent or a caregiver lashing out. The result is sensitivity to each interaction and the moods of others. Fearful that the individual fly into a rage, these children learn to adapt by withholding their own emotions and making waves, anger and sadness. According to the National Traumatic Stress Network, strong connections exist between childhood and trauma and high-risk behavior, such as smoking, having unprotected sex, and experiencing chronic illness, such as heart disease and cancer. Individuals who have experienced abuse are likely to experience stress and anxiety later in life. The long-term stress and anxiety can cause physical symptoms as well as emotional issues throughout life. In short, childhood trauma creates a fractured foundation, a breach in the spirit, right? For the individual, for the rest of their life, they are the way we are raised and the sense of security it creates or shatters all impact emotional and sometimes physical path we take as an adult. Now that was deep. That was deep. And I see the results of a lot of this within myself, and a lot of this that we read, I see the results within my children as we learn in this life, as we are living life. And that's the end of those three, right? And that was the end of that. But again, I'm hoping and praying that we can come together and we can open up and we can heal. We can heal. God, just answer to you the first question, can one serve Yahweh with a mental illness? And one of the things that we just learned, anxiety or depression. And we in First Kings, and we can answer that in First Kings before we're getting ready to close on. We're going to answer that in 1 Kings 19, and I'm going to start at 1 through 9. I'm going to just start at 1 through 9 because I like the whole story. And again, let me build it up. Let me give the backdrop to this. Eliyahu has just beat and just showed the power of Yahweh. He just killed 400. He's filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. He is filled with the Spirit of Yahweh. He went in such a confidence. If you go back and read in chapter 18, I believe it starts in 18. And he went in such a confidence in front of the children of Israel, in front of the 450 prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Asherah, he went in such a confidence within Yahweh. Continue to read the story. If you haven't read the story, when you get a chance, go and read. And hear the confidence. Hear the spirit on his brother, what he read in. Question again, can one serve Yahweh with anxiety? Right to it, or depression. Yes. 800 plus prophets. Killed all of them. Ask Israel, how long? Between two opinions. If you're going to serve Yahweh, serve Yahweh. You're going to serve Baal, serve Baal. Boldly. He was bold. And when Ahab reported that Isabel, Eliyahu had done, also how he slew all the prophets with the sword. And this is Jezebel, for those who don't know the Iblis or the Hebrew. This is Jezebel. I'm not quite sure you've heard of Jezebel in your life somewhere. And all those were her prophets. Jezebel sent a messenger to Eliyahu saying, so let the mighty one do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. In other words, I'm going to kill you. Let Yahweh do to me what I said I'm going to do to you. Because by tomorrow, I'm going to kill you, Eliyahu. You make sure you tell them this. Kill you, Eliyahu. Kill all my prophets. Israel back away from me. Woman says she will have him killed. All the power that he has displayed, all the confidence that he has just displayed. Read. And he feared and all the power that he just displayed. Boldness that he just displayed. What happened? To the brother. Did. Anxiety took hold of the brother. Rose up and ran for his life. He was back in you, Yahoo. The power of Yahweh on you, the Ruach HaKodesh within you. By your word, fire came down. The altar for your life. See, that's the thing. I don't know how people are reading the word of Yahweh, but they're not reading it right. They read it as if it's this abstract thing away from life. Life, real life situations are not taking place in their life. To the believer, this thing is life. And he feared and rose up and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Yehuda, and left his servant there. Hell, he was so scared, he left his servant. He left his boy. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and said, this brother was running. He was getting low under a broom tree and prayed that he might die and say, it is enough. He is tired. I'm done. Man, I'm done, Yahweh. Done. I don't want to deal with it no more. How much fear and anxiety came over the brother. I'm done, Yahweh. How long it took? But just 3 ago, he had the power of Yahweh on him. But because of this threat on his life, it was overwhelming to the brother. The brother said, I'm done. It's enough. Hey, take me now, Father. I don't want to deal with this no more. I don't want this feeling no more. I don't want this feel, have this nervous energy. I don't want this fear upon my life no more, Abiyah. I'm done. Take it away from me. The life situations within the word that translates to our lives. This isn't abstract. This is concrete, Israel. This is life. And he said, it is enough now, Yahweh. Take my life, for I am not better than my father's. And he lay under a broom tree, and see, a messenger touched him and said to him, rise up. And he looked and saw by his head a cake and baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and turned and laid down. And the messenger of Yahweh came back the second time and touched him and said, rise and eat, for the journey is too much for you. And he rose up and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as for Horeb, the mountain of Elohim. And there he went into a cave and spent the night. And there, and see, the word of Yahweh came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? Huh? Listen to that. Is that not the same question that he asked Adam? Where are you, Adam? How did you get here, Adam? I told you don't eat of the tree. How did you get where you at, Adam? How did you get there? Save me. How you got there? Doing here? How did you get there? A few days ago, my spirit was upon you. Stop trusting in me. Let fear and anxiety overtake you, Eliyah. What are you doing here? Ready to die, asking me to take your life. Just walked in my power. Life. Abiyah know that he understands that. Yahusha was in the garden. God, he overtook him. Sweat was coming off him like a blood. Overtook him. He understood where he was. So he had to come to the understanding, but not my will, thy will be done. And that's when the Malachim, the angels came and they ministered to him to get up, because what he was about to do knocked him down to his knees. Literally, down. Remember where he come from, who he is, and how he got there, and why he was there. To remember that, not my will, but thy will be done. So when we're in these situations, what are you doing there? Where are you? Right? Where are you? How you get there? And remember, not our will, but it's Abba Yah will be done. So we can get up. We can get strengthened. We can move on. But it don't just happen like that, family. Because life goes on. We are continually attacked. So we have to remember the story of Daniel. If you have something in mind about a brother or sister, trust me, somebody coming. So that means, yeah, we got to send somebody else to get in a fight with you. To get in a fight. And that is the end of tonight's blog talk, family. I'm not going to go on, but so much. I did have one more scripture. And that was in Luke 22:2-3. And that was, the answer to the other, because can a demon possess someone who has been saved? And we know Yahudu with Yahushua. He was among the 12, among the 70. He had the Ruach HaKodesh within him. But the scripture says, and Satan entered into him. And the devil, in other words, the demons, all of the happenings, they wait for those openings to come. They wait for those breaches. They come in. And some of them have already been there. Wow. They've already been there for a while. But hopefully we can come and understand and release a lot of things. Release. And then the benefit of not being blessed are you, Yahweh, son of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Yisrael with shalom. Hallelujah. 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 So the Shabbat door is completely open now. Thank you for allowing us a way in, Father. Thank you for your son, for laying down his life, Father. For breaking the ties that Hillel had in us, Father. But Abba Yah, we know that there's a lot of stuff that we sometimes don't know about us. As you said in the word, that your spirit is like a flashlight. It's like a light within us, Father. Search within us, Father. As you said, the brother, Dawid, is there anything that's not like you, Father? Pull it out of us, Father. Search for those things that's hidden deep down within us, Abba Yah, and pull it out, Father. Give us the courage to talk about it, Father. Give us the strength to heal one another, Father. Give us the wherewithal to understand when a brother or sister is going through. To give them a call, Father. To reach out to them, to touch them, Father. To your Ruach, Father, God. Give us the spirit of discernment, Father. So we can see the adversary far off, Father, God. And give us the sword of the Spirit, Father. Which is Yahushua HaMashiach, Father, so we can slay him. Pray for all those, again, Father, who are ailing, Father, in any type of way, Father. May you touch and heal our Emma, Father. May she continue to get better, Father. I ask and pray for our Rabbi, our Father, that you continue to be with him, Father, continue to strengthen him, Father, that they do well, Father, that you continue to strengthen them, Father. And for all those who are seeking your will, Father, that you continue to lift them up, Father. All the yellow bees, Father, the children, all the emus, the mothers, Father, all the ox, the brothers, Father, all of the Zakin, Father, that you continue, the elders, Father, to lift all of us up, Father, in your holy and precious Son, name, Father, so we can do thy will and not ours, Father. And Yahushua is on the feet. Holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael. Shalom, Abiyah.
Be great.